No doubt. What a great day to remembering all the women in our lives who carry some of those different emotions. And thanks to all the people who have put that together. It really lines up with today, not so much as being Mother's Day, but for a day as when we're talking about gifts. I know Jane. Jane, why don't you stand so they can see you, Jane? Please. Thank you. Jane is the editor of all that, one of our newest members. And so thank you for using your gifts and sharing those with us. And to the equipping team for putting all that together and lining up all the many volunteers. Again, it is just a great example of what Paul is talking about when he talks about using our gifts that will indeed equip, will encourage, and uplift the church. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord, for, again, this day, for a day to be together in community. And so, forgive us, God, for taking this time for granted. Forgive us, God, for just trying to rush through these moments. Thank you for really being with us today and for the many thoughts that are on our hearts and the words that I'll be speaking, God. I simply pray that they will be an encouragement to this, your church. I pray, God, that the folks here, that they will be able to see a glimpse of you, whether it's in the music, the sharing of the video, through your words. Use us all, God, because you are our strength, our Redeemer, and the ultimate giver of hope. Amen. Again, speaking of gifts, spiritual gifts from our passage today, and it's Mother's Day, and I found out $21 billion has switched hands over the last few days for moms. Well, that is a lot of money. Now, I don't think any of you got one check with that. If you did, we'll talk later. But anyway, maybe you're single. No, okay, I'm just joking there. So anyway, just a lot of gifts. So gifts are a very natural part of who we are. You know, I gave a gift to my daughter today, Mackenzie. She's in Phoenix. And so I had this gift, and I wrote on it for Mackenzie for Mother's Day. And, you know, it's the seventh Mother's Day without Bonnie. And so I gave her this gift. And she texted me last week right before church saying, "Dad, thanks. This is great." And I says, "It's not Mother's Day. Why are you opening it?" She says, "It said to Mackenzie for Mother's Day." So I opened it. She goes, "You didn't say do not open until Mother's Day." So this is a gift I sent her. I think you can see a little bit of it. It's one of those crystal things with both all of our pictures in it. And how great thou art. Reminded us of my wife's favorite song, as well as the God's provisions through all this time. So anyway, so gifts are natural. We love to give gifts. At Christmas, I believe it was over $465 billion that is exchanged through the holiday season. So our culture and many cultures knows the idea of giving a gift. And for many of us, we've been there. Some of us probably would be ashamed to admit it, whether we've been on that receiving end or we've been on the giving end of a special gift that we picked out, that we shopped for, or maybe you made it, only to have it just sort of shoved aside, only to have it maybe ignored or maybe just played with for a little bit. Or maybe that gift was just hoarded by one of the kids and never shared. I don't know about you, but I think it would be very easy to get a little angry about that. To feel disappointed, to feel like all that work, all that money, even for me to have to wrap that gift, you know, I'm into gift bags, not into wrapping. But so I had to wrap this present, you know, all of this. And to have your child or a friend of yours just sort of poo-poo it is extremely disappointing. And so I think that's the same way it is with God. Because he's given us gifts. Some people more than one. He's given us gifts that are just tailor-made for who we are as a person. That is tailor-made for my strengths and for my weaknesses. And yet at times, some of us ignore the gift. At times, some of us want to probably deny the gift. And so I think God also grieves as we disrespect and are ungrateful for the gifts that he gives us. Unfortunately, again, as I thought about this, prayed through this, read through this, there is at times an ungratefulness that I think happens. And again, in our culture, we are lavished with so many blessings that it is very easy to take some of these gifts for granted. And so as we plow through this, as we look at what Paul talks about in the New Testament, I pray that we'll look at it not just from even my own or your own perspective, but also from the perspective of God, the giver of all gifts, and see what can we take away from this to really equip and encourage God's church. And again, you know, talking to many of my buddies who are leading churches, to many staff members of churches, I mean, there are seminars and workshops, and there are books about how to identify and recruit volunteers. And I am sure these are not words that many people probably hear. Maybe some of you have heard them. Maybe some of you have said them. When asked, you know what, will you help us with this? Or can you take the lead on a particular ministry? Can you spend some time with this? We have heard, well, you know, I gave at the office. Or, you know, I've already put my time in. I've already done that. That ship has sailed. Now, some people are a little hurt by some things, and so they've built a wall, and they, for some reason, no longer feel their gift is a gift. And so they are just taking the back seat. And as I've read through the gifts and about God giving these gifts, I have yet to find a passage that allows you to skip your gift, that allows you to put your gift on hold. And now let me also do a disclaimer here. There is no doubt a time when you are absolutely physically impossible to do what you used to do. We would all be in denial if we didn't realize that. And so I'm not speaking to the folks who literally, for whatever reason, in whatever season in life, it is just impossible to actually exhibit and use your gift for the church. Well, we're not talking about those folks. But still, even if that is your situation, I'm convinced there are some ways that you could contribute to the body of Christ so that we can be new life for the city. So I don't want to let you off the hook, but I also don't want to be interpreted as, man, there goes Juno just, you know, Dorothy and Ted Visser, you know, they're at 66 years of marriage and, you know, they just can't get around like they used to. And if he expects Ted to climb up on that roof to help shingle it, you know, what's Juno thinking? You know, that's not what I'm thinking. So as a church, let me say thank you to those who have shared and given your gift over the years, because if you hadn't, we would not be here today. And so again, we're looking at Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. And we know that Corinth, you know, that was a pretty busy place. Now, it doesn't have the tagline, the city that never sleeps. But it probably would if it had a current marketing person for it. You know, because we know it was in the midst of the hustle and the bustle and people coming in and out. It was a key area. And so a lot of things are happening there. And so Paul is addressing the church that he started, who had sent him several letters, and Paul is responding to the concerns of his church in this letter. And so you can grab a Bible if you want to in front of you on page 799, and I'm going to start just to read through this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, and I share a little bit about how that may even apply to us. So if we look at, again, 1 Corinthians 12, just the first verse. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. So right off the bat, again, Paul is saying, now about. He's indicating that, okay, we've talked about things. You know, last week, it wasn't last week for Paul, but last week for us, we talked about communion. You know, and so Paul, again, he's shifting gears from all the other things that they have listed. And now he's saying, okay, here we go. Here are some things that we are going to talk about. It's his transition to saying, okay, we've hit these things. Here's one more. And what's interesting, we're going to find out over the next several weeks, is that three chapters have been given to this issue. This isn't just some fly-by-night little topic that Paul is just sort of dropping in on and giving his 2 cents worth. It's an issue that is dividing the church. It's an issue that's full of emotion, full of egos. And Paul spends several chapters diving into it, and we're going to spend a few more weeks taking a look at what this means. So again, he says, I do not want you to be uninformed. He's basically saying in that same passage, you know, I don't want you to be ignorant. Stuff is happening. I'm hearing all kinds of things. You are writing me. So let's just pause and take a look. And he's really just saying, and we're going to see in the next few verses, he's saying, let's get back to the basics. Let's get back to some of the basic truths of faith and of the church. So let me read verses 2 and 3. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Again, Paul is reminding that there are some weirdos out there, some false prophets. So he is ringing that bell again. But he is also saying one of the most foundational statements of the Christian faith. And that is, Jesus is Lord. And so we can talk about all kinds of things, all kinds of issues at the church. All kinds of controversial things that, you know, that's sort of life. But again, Paul is taking him back to the basics, that Jesus is Lord. And so as he dives into this very emotional subject, he is saying, now remember, I don't want you to be ignorant, but Jesus is Lord. And by saying that, it also implies that Jesus is Lord, well, that means Caesar isn't. So people, the early church, they weren't just saying this to be in, to be accepted, but this was a reflection of their deep faith, a reflection of who they were now following, a reflection of who their hope is in. Jesus is Lord. Now, on a side note, I think we need to remember that this political season. Because no matter what side that fence you're on, and no matter who is going to be in the office in January, I'm not making any other statements, Jesus is Lord. Our hope isn't in the President of the United States. And again, a subject that is full of controversy, full of emotion. And we could have some interesting dialogues if I were to say just a few words, and I'm not going to. I have the gift of discipline, discernment. But anyway, all that to say is, folks, we need to remember who our hope is in. The church in Corinthian needed, in Corinth needed to remember that. And we do. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have a responsibility to look at the issues and figure it out and to vote. That is a huge blessing that we have. So we need to do that. But we also need to remember that our hope is in the Lord. And so let's go to verses 4 through 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, we can also translate that word different to say variety. So there are different varieties of gifts, where there are a variety of gifts. And so we really could say that, you know, in the church, variety is the spice of life. We're intentionally created to be different. God does not want 400 clones at New Life Community Church. That is not God's intention whatsoever. We are reminded that the difference that we have is not a bad thing, but it's a good thing. And it brings a richness to the body of Christ. Again, Paul says it three different times. There are different gifts. We just need to understand that being different doesn't make somebody right or wrong or evil. It means they're different. They're created differently in the image of God. And I think, on one hand, we know that. I only have one daughter, and so would it be easy for me to say she's a product of my wonderful parenting and my wife's and I? That probably is an overstatement. But for those of you with 2 and 3 and 4 children, you sometimes wonder, do they come from the same parents? How in the world can they be so different? I mean, hugely different. Now, you didn't run a DNA test, but you're just wondering, what in the world? And yet God made your kids different. And we know that, though. And it's easier to say that when it's not your child exhibiting these behaviors. The parents are embarrassed or wondering or feeling horrible in a very deep way that, oh, my kids are doing this. And when it's somebody else's kids, I know it's easier to come alongside them and support them, encourage them. And when it's yours, you're probably more embarrassed. But let's remember that nature just screams of God's creativity, screams of the uniqueness of the Creator that we serve. Because we know we will never, ever see two snowflakes that are the same. That every leaf on every tree is just a little different. And good luck finding a grain of sand that's the same. Not one of them are created the same way. And if you look at our fingerprints, they're all different. And so the church needs to remember the uniqueness of the creativity and probably sometimes a sense of humor that God has, as he's created each and every one of us. And so Paul, again, is just reminding them of God's creativity. And he's also reminding them of the Trinity. even though we never see the word Trinity in Scripture, again, here is an example of the Trinity. When Paul says, the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts, the Lord Jesus really places people in the right places for ministry, and God our Father empowers the people to do the ministry. It's again, it's a reminder of three in one, all playing different roles, another example of God's creativity, of the uniquenesses of God's gift, of even of himself. It's also important as we think, and I was looking at this, to understand that word gift. The root word for that is charisma. And we would use the word charismatic. And we often, you know, as we are about to read some of these gifts that Paul is talking about, we often use that word charismatic to talk about those churches that people raise their hand, hoop and holler, dance around for Jesus, and we say, ooh, that's what those charismatics. But really, charismatic is sold short. And I think we put a box around it. Because the root word charis means grace, and ma means to give it. So charismatic means it's really grace given. And so if you're using your gifts for the church, you are giving grace. So you have people that are pretty even keel, like Joanne, who oversees our food distribution ministry. She leads that. Now, I don't think I'm going to see Joanne ever hopping and running across the stage. That is not who Joanne is. But she has the spirit. She really is charismatic, but we probably wouldn't say she was. Fred, most of our Tuesday team, except Dwight. Dwight, you're here, yeah. Most of our Tuesday team is very low-key, very calm, very, very steady, and you know, not overly excited about much, except Dwight. Dwight, we'd call him charismatic. But again, folks, they all have gifts. God is using them in some incredible ways. They really are spirit-filled, and they are giving grace no matter what they are doing. And so here is the litmus test for our gifts. And it's something that we can all process as we think about this whole thing called spiritual gifts. It's in verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And if it isn't helping the church, if it isn't equipping and empowering and good for the church, then it's probably not the spiritual gift for the church. You know, for example, I think I've shared before, for almost 4 months, I took piano lessons. Middle C. Hours of lessons, and I can tell you where middle C is on this keyboard. Now, I did learn, let me see if I can remember it. Let me see. You know that hymn? Fairest Lord Jesus. That's all I know. So while I have a passion, in fact, I've thought about buying a player piano. Because I just love, I think I can make a chord. There you go. While I love the sound of a piano, I am not gifted. Well, I really wanted my daughter, she has a piano. I love the sound of the piano, but I am not gifted. So somebody here needs to tell me, Juno, this is not good. You're not edifying the church by using this piano. So, and hopefully you'll do it with grace, and they won't hurt my feelings too much, but somebody needs to tell me tough love if I think I'm going to get up here and play with our worship team. And I am so thankful for Paul, who does keyboards, and Derek, who arranges all this music and stuff. Because it's a sign that God has gifted everybody a little different. And I think when we see experiences like this, when we watch the video that Jane helped to put together, produce, and edit, we're thankful that everybody isn't the same. You know, it's sort of like this. You know, we have a softball team here at the church. Oh, which happens to know that they won their championship this past week. Yay! You talk about a miracle. It was a miracle. You should see where we've come from. But everybody doesn't play the same way. Now, I don't think Justin's here. And Justin, I was looking earlier. Nope. We'll talk about, he's a great first baseman. He can stretch like Mr. Extendo and get balls that Mark has thrown, and he catches them. Mark is a great shortstop, right? Yeah. Mark and, Jonathan went up with the kids. Jonathan plays third. I mean, I wasn't calling them kids, they're kids. These kids can move and stretch and jump on that ball in ways that I would never be able to get up again and walk. But yet, here they are, all with their different gifts, making it happen. You know, and I'm the token coach on the bench that does a lot of trash talking to our own people. You know, when Mark misses those balls or doesn't coach the right way, we have fun teasing one another. But I found out this week, saying the words, "I'm smelling a double play," can be taken very offensively by the other team. And they thought I was trash talking them. But I owned up to it. But all that to say, whether it's the encouragement to the team, whether it's the people playing first or shortstop or third base or in the field, they all contribute to make the team work. And that's what it is for us as a church. We all are a little different. And I know my gift is not hitting or throwing the ball, so I'll coach them from the bench. And I'm okay with that. And so let's just take a look here again at Paul. As Paul rattles through a bunch of these gifts here. Gifts that are, folks, again, remember, it's destroying the church. There's all kinds of stuff going on because of what he is about to share. So let me read with you from verses 8 through 11. "To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." He distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, again, we talked about charismatic. Many of us would probably take that list of gifts and say, "Oh, that's the charismatic people." And again, I'm saying we're limiting that word charismatic. Because God's Spirit, the gift that God's give us, grace to be given, applies to each and every one of us. But what's happening here is the fact that they're all saying, "Oh, I can," and I know some people, I can speak in tongues, so therefore I'm more spiritual than you. I can interpret what people are saying when they speak a language in a service, and so therefore I must be closer to God than you. I can heal somebody, so that means I am right up there next to God Almighty. And you're just a piano player. You just teach. You just, or some of us are saying, "But I'm not, I can't, I'm not like him or her." And Paul is saying, let's slow the boat down, folks. Remember what? That Jesus is Lord. Now, when Paul is talking about these gifts, they are not all-inclusive. There are a couple other passages in Scripture that, list many of the gifts. And in fact, if you are so inclined, somewhere in here, we have a whole list of the gifts. We all know, many of us know Bruce. Bruce was on staff here, Pastor Bruce Bugby. He has a whole ministry dedicated to helping people find and discover their gifts. So as for the church of Corinth, the idea of gifts, it wasn't a new issue for them. Paul addresses it, and even for us. For most of us here, you know something about the idea of gifts. You've either been through a workshop, you've had a Bible study, you've had more than one sermon about gifts. But if you want an exhaustive list and really what they mean, because sometimes you may be a little embarrassed, now what does this really mean? The gift of faith, well, we all have faith. But there are some people that will rely on God's Spirit to move something without all the facts. In fact, we hear about this during budget time. Some churches will call it a faith budget, meaning we don't know where this money's coming from, but God's going to supply it somehow. And I'm probably a little bit more, let's just sort of base it on what's been given and our growth and stuff. But there are, and churches flourish with all different ways of working on a budget, but some call it a faith budget, meaning they are relying on God no matter what it says in black and white. That's not bad. That's not evil. They're not closer to God. That's just they have that gift of faith. So go for it. So again, if you want a little bit more description of what that means and what all the gifts are about, you can pick them up again at the Home Life Center and the Information Center. But it is key, folks, for us to realize that something so good, something given by God is being used to really pull people apart and put a wedge there. Again, Paul addresses these issues, but nowhere does he say they're wrong. Nowhere does he say these aren't even a gift. He's saying you've been given a gift, and he coaches them just a little way through that. But don't get hung up on yourself. We've all heard that before. You know, none of us are God's gift to anybody. Moms, hate to say it, on Mother's Day, really. You know, you're not God's gift. Well, you are in a way, but you know, you're not the Messiah for your family. Dads, you're the same way. If you're single, you're not God's gift to your organization, folks. If you own a business, you're not God's gift. Don't let it divide you. Don't let our strengths become points of division and of arrogance and of ungratefulness, but to realize that God can use us all in some incredibly different ways. For what? What's the litmus test? For the common good of the church. So if what's going on is not bringing the church together, we need to address that. Now, I have led hundreds of small groups in previous lives. And there are some people that will lead their small group. We call them life groups. And nobody sticks with the group. They all bail. You know, season after season. And it gets to the point where we have to say, hey, Susie, you know, 3 years into this, nobody's in your life group. Maybe leading the life group isn't your gift. So let's figure out another place where you might serve and enjoy serving, and serving to where it gives you energy, where it brings joy to you. None of us like those conversations. But again, Paul is addressing his friends, his church that he started, who are all about the gifts from God. And being human, we all probably think of ourselves a little bit better than we really are. But we just need to be humble and realize we all need each other, because it does bring a balance. And we'll talk about this balance and how we need each other over the next couple of weeks. But again, it is important that we take the time and we dive into what it means to discover our gifts. And you maybe have been asked the question, or if you haven't, I know I've been many times. So what is your spiritual gift? And For some of you, that's like a freaky word. You know, like, what is my spiritual gift? Well, you need to, let me just give you four very, very quick ways to just help you discover that. Versus just saying you got to know it, you got to use it for the church. Well, you need to be praying, and you need to talk to God and talk to others about it. Because if everybody tells you that isn't quite happening, then you may want to reconsider. If you've been volunteering and it is an absolute drain on you week after week and you hate it, then maybe that isn't your place to use your gift. Maybe there's another place for that. Also, there's ways and there's tools. And what we've done here, you can come up during our response time, but we have a card here that you can go online, do an assessment. There's a code you put in. This is what Pastor Bruce has developed, and he's using across the country. And so we'll pick up the tab for that. But they're tools to help you discover and to think through who you are, what you are, your experience in life, and to think, oh, maybe there's some indication about my gift. And so you can pick those up, and if you don't have the internet, there are some books that have it in hard copy that you can take. And then really, folks, you need to take a step. You need to try it. These aren't legal contracts. You're not trying something for life, but try it for a season to say, you know what? Let me give that a try. Okay, let me not give that a try. I'm done there, you know. If you don't like people, then don't be an usher. If you have a germ phobia, then don't be an usher. We can put you some other place. But anyway, try it. Give it a try. You got nothing to lose, and you'll know. Again, I think I shared, I did an internship with junior high kids back in the day, and I knew then I was not wired to work with those wonderful creations of God's. Now, Ryan, bless his heart, he has a team of people. Most of the time, they love what they're doing. You know, that's just the way we're wired. And then finally, I'm going to conclude it the same way. Pray about it again. Because again, folks, we don't get a pass on this. I still can't find in Scripture where some people get a gift and some people don't get a gift. So we need to take responsibility and try to figure out, where can I use my gift to encourage the church? Where can I use my gift so that, in our language here, so that together I can be a part, I can partner with being new life for the city? Because nowhere in Scripture does it say your gift is to sit on a nice cushion in a nice worship center. That isn't a gift. It isn't an entitlement either. But for those of you who are calling new life your home, folks, there's a way that we can work together, not for us, but for God's kingdom. And so I'm going to encourage us all to think through. And if you're already serving, God bless you. Maybe God can use you to help encourage somebody else. So all God's people said. So the team's going to come back out here, and they're going to lead us through some additional time of worship. And again, we have our opportunity where you can nail things to the cross. Maybe it's a concern, or maybe you're undervaluing your own contribution to the church. Maybe you want to talk to somebody. So we're going to have a prayer team over here that they're going to be willing to listen and pray. Maybe you need to celebrate. Maybe your response today is to remember what Christ has done for you, and you're going to celebrate that by coming forward here or in the back, or we'll have some rovers, or you want to light a candle to say, God, your light is needed. Help me to be a light in our community. And of course, you know, it's Mother's Day, and so whether it's maybe it's a candle or even celebrating communion together, if you're here with your family and you want to do that together, just come up together and share in remembrance of the greatest gift that God has given us, and that's His Son. And don't forget, you can pick up a response card here so that you can take some time to reflect and pray through how God has wired you and the experience God has given you to be his church and to share your gifts. So as the ushers come forward, may we continue to worship as we give back to God.